Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by IT Pro TV. A good IT pro is always learning, and IT Pro TV is the resource to keep your IT skills up to date with engaging and informative video tutorials. For a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/NSS and use the code NSS30. And by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee free, go to BraintreePayments.com/NSS.
It's an E3 extravaganza. Plus, photography tips from the best experts from around the world and a peek inside your cat's guts. Live from the Twit Brick House in beautiful downtown Petaluma, it's the new fantastic, fantabulous Screensavers.
Sarah Lane, welcome back.
Thank you.
So nice to see you. Sarah is now, of course, at TechCrunch TV, much to our loss, their gain.
Well, but I'm here now.
I'm so glad you came back.
I am delighted.
You hitchhiked up.
I borrowed a friend's car, actually. A big old SUV.
Did you recognize that guy who did the open there? Does that look familiar at all to you?
Yeah, he used to sign my paychecks yours.
That is Paul Block. We're going to talk to him later. He was the... I guess the last executive producer of the old show.
But for a while.
For many years. For many years. I called him Mr. Hollywood a couple of weeks back, and he took umbrage. So I'm gonna give him a chance to rebut.
I didn't know that Paul was going to be here until like 5 minutes before he walked in.
Isn't that amazing?
And it's like... he's still standing across the room,
yelling, during the show,
shouting at us.
He's our Gelman.
It's like 15 years hasn't even passed, but it has.
Angela Lane, his wife, is here with us. It's great. Mm-hmm.
It's a great last name.
Trey Radcliffe is going to be here.
Who I haven't seen in a
million. Are you any relation? I never thought. To Angela Lane?
No, I don't think we are related to each. Well, I mean, we
are
related.
Of lanes?
There are a lot of lanes in the world. Okay. Yes, go to Ireland sometime.
There's all lanes everywhere you go. Trey Radcliffe from New Zealand is joining us. He's in studio recovering from his pneumonia. He was in the hospital.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm glad you're feeling better.
So glad he's feeling better.
That's an interesting little piece of trivia.
And speaking about blasts from the past, the beautiful Catherine Hall from Catherine Hall Studios is going to be here as well.
Yay.
We're talking photography. We're talking computers. We're talking the internet. And as if that weren't enough. E3 was
more?
This week, the big E3 conference.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is a little Woody Allen moment for me. Remember in the movie, was it Annie Hall, where they're standing in a line and some guy is mouthing off about Marshall McLuhan, and Woody Allen says, "You know nothing about Marshall McLuhan. I've got Marshall McLuhan right here," and he pulls him out. And the guy says, "You're an idiot."
Yeah, it's like a line for the movie theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got Jeff Gerstmann, Giant Bomb, here to talk about E3.
Whoa.
Jeff,
where'd you come from?
Hey, hi.
He's my Marshall.
I'm
good
doing
to see
well.
You. So you
I
were
like
at
that
E3.
T-shirt.
Yes, I was at E3 yesterday. I made it back, drove up from L.A.
Is it overwhelming? It looks like it's overwhelming.
It's always a little different every year. You know, it's a very loud show.
Right.
But it's changed a lot from, like, running around to seeing stuff on the show floor to just, like, regimented appointments. So it's like, okay, I got to be here in 10 minutes and see this and then go here and see this.
And the big companies do press conferences even before the game show itself gets underway.
Exactly, yeah.
So Microsoft, I watched the Xbox.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I think they've got some interesting tactical moves they're making. There are clearly some people that haven't moved on from the 360. So when they do stuff like, hey, we're, you know, going to let you play 360 games on the Xbox One.
Why didn't they do that before?
You know, apparently it was really hard. Actually, so, you know,
it took a while to figure out.
Yeah, to hear them tell it, they've been working
people
on
are
this
really
stuff
stoked
for,
about that.
For kind of a long time. Yeah, I think it's something that, you
they're
know.
They're like going to have 100 titles out of the gate and then another 100 next
well,
year.
Well, yes, the other thing, it's not all of the titles.
No, no. So publishers will have to opt in and say, yes, I want my old game to be playable on the new stuff, which leaves a lot of room for people to just keep selling remakes and reboots and then never let their old games be playable.
So will I be able to take my green Xbox 360 box, take the disc out, and put it in my new Xbox One?
Yes. If you have digital versions of the games, you can just download them right away. Oh, but if you have them on disc, you can stick them in. And then it'll have to download some kind of wrapper or download the content and rather than read it off the disc. And yes, it is emulating a 360. In software, which
is... Does it do well? Did you see it?
I messed around with it a little bit. Actually, I did it and then ran it through to my Windows 10 machine on top of that.
That's nice. Streaming from the Xbox One to Windows 10.
Yeah, so like the number of layers of like, okay, it's an Xbox 360 game running on Xbox One, streaming across my network to my Windows 10 machine where I'm playing it there. And that
and
stuff seems
seamless.
To work. Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, it's video streaming, so there's always going to be a little latency on that end of it. But in terms of... The games that they have in the program right now, which is like a dozen, you know, something like that, it works pretty well. Geometry Wars runs well, and that's the only one that matters anyway, so they're done.
It's kind of ironic because now you could, you know, Gears of War is coming to the Xbox One. A lot of the games that people might have said, oh, I need my 360 for, I have a feeling it's one of those things that people, it's a check mark, but nobody's going to end up doing.
That's always been the conventional wisdom about backwards compatibility, is it's the sort of thing that parents care about when they're going to buy a new system because they're like, I bought all these games and now they're garbage. The people that really, really care about games don't really matter.
Small Arms.
What's that game?
I think you're a robot.
It's like,
that's a safe bet for most games, really.
What's this game called? Small Arms.
It's about raptors.
They'll figure it out.
It's very hard when you have Small Arms.
Up here. It's a lot of bending down and doing this sort of stuff.
PlayStation. They're going to have a new Elite controller. I like that.
Yeah, got my hands on that.
$150
So people have been aftermarket modding Xbox controllers for some time now to put some of this stuff in. Players that play like Call of Duty at a high level, they don't want to ever take their right thumb off of the look stick to hit buttons.
Right.
So they
hate it when
have
that
flippers. I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they put the flippers on the back, so you have four buttons back there. It's not for everyone.
It's for high-end Elite gaming.
But it felt nice.
PS4, anything there?
It does look like a...
Doesn't that look nice? I can't wait to get
that. It's like upholstery.
Yeah. And there's a lot of switches and gizmos and stuff.
Frightening, really.
It's all assignable, too, so you can
reassign. Yeah, you can assign buttons at will and do all sorts of stuff. They'll have an app that lets you do that. On the Sony side, you know, they've been kind of beating the hearts and minds drum all along, and they're sticking to that course. So they, you know, they had their building the list hashtag, where they wanted people to say, like, hey, what are games you want us to go out and make possible? And so this was one of the times where they kind of said, like, hey, the game you've been requesting the most, you lunatics that want a new Shenmue game, like, hey, we're helping make that happen. They didn't say it quite as cleanly up on stage, but the long and short of it is, yeah, they're kind of making
it's
that happen.
It's amazing when you watch these videos, the glitz that goes into these press conferences now. It's not some guy at a podium in front of a curtain. I mean, these stages are beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sony has the
they
big wraparound screen.
For Forza, they lowered a car.
Yeah.
It's a spectacle now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it got to a point where, like, that stuff was airing on Spike TV, and everyone went like, oh, I guess I should probably get on a treadmill, and we should probably clean it up a little bit if we're going to be on television, right?
Didn't Morgan and Adam actually broadcast from E3?
They reunited for the first time sometime, but they did it for Bethesda, who had a press conference.
Oh, okay.
So they were doing, like, pre- and post-show for them. Bethesda announced Fallout 4, which looks pretty cool.
Wait. Are you going to get the Pip-Boy accessory?
No, I was thinking I would just go like even more apocalyptic than that and just duct tape my phone to my arm.
Safety first.
Yeah.
I want Cuphead, though.
Cuphead looks fantastic. It's hard. It's very hard.
Can you show some video of this? You will like this, Sarah-Lane.
Okay.
It's like you're in the middle of an old 30s kind of Cab Calloway video. It's or Mickey Mouse.
Is that something I would like?
Because you're old.
Oh, right.
No, I don't know why. See if you can find some Cuphead video.
Yeah, Cuphead's just beautiful, but it's mostly boss fights. That's how they're getting away
that's disappointing.
Cuphead. I'm pretty sure that lady's
Don't make fun of that poor poopery woman.
Pretty sure that lady's Cuphead.
Okay.
Yeah. Surprise. That's Cuphead.
Look at this. It's kind of old timey.
No, this is something that you would like, Leo.
Maybe because I'm old.
When you said that I would like it, you meant that you would like it.
I would like it.
Yeah.
Who's winning, PS4 or Xbox One?
PS4 is the sales lead right now.
But it doesn't seem like anybody has an exclusives game lead anymore.
No, it's not. Well, if you look at Sony's output, like they're really nailing the third party end of things.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Japan isn't making games the way it used to,
That's
and some
right.
of that stuff got a little weird. Whereas Microsoft is kind of spinning up its game machine, and
Studios,
you know, Halo
well.
Will be out this fall
New
and
Halo.
All that sort of
Microsoft,
stuff.
Microsoft, though, until this year, spent a couple of years really like selling the Xbox as a media center, and
yeah.
I think that backfired.
Totally.
Because
I mean,
gamers went to the
yeah.
like, you know, the PS4.
We
that,
want to
that
play
was
games.
That
we
was always
care.
It's a gaming machine.
They had to roll
things.
Their whole strategy and a lot of, and a lot of the people behind it, and
it's
then
a weird
get
thing,
it together.
Though.
So they've been spending the last couple of years kind of
yeah.
undoing the mess
right.
of their message and getting back to games.
We've made it too versatile.
So like all Sony had to do
back.
Was kind of stand back and go like, "We're a game machine for people who like to play video games,"
yeah.
and then
yeah.
people were like, "Yeah." Whereas
me.
Xbox One was like, you could hook a TV up to it and hook it, you know, run
look
HDMI in and look at, and people were like, there are a zillion devices that do that. I don't need a game machine that does that.
Where's so. Nintendo in all this? Are they out of the race?
I mean, they're running their own race. You know, the Wii U is coming into its own. Like Super Mario Maker is kind of the thing for me. It's literally a Mario construction kit.
That's fun.
You are making your
yeah.
own Super Mario Brothers 1 level.
That's pretty cool.
And just being able to use the touchscreen for that, and you know, sharing the levels around online. There's some really inventive stuff that they're showing for that already, and I'm really looking forward to that. They're not, you know, it's not the most powerful machine on the market. They're not in the hardware race the same way. They don't get third-party games the same way the other guys go for, but, you know, Nintendo still makes quality products, and
if you like Mario, you like Zelda, if you want to play that classic Nintendo experience,
they still have that.
That's where you play
They still
it.
Have that.
Yeah. Best games of
you know, the thing that stuck out for me is a game called Just Cause 3 that Square's putting out. Just Cause 2, someone made a mod for it that lets 1,000 people come together and play it.
Oh
Just Cause
God.
3 isn't going to have that out of the gate until some modders get their hands on it. But it is just explosion central. It is this open world, ridiculous, you know, wingsuits, parachutes,
Whoa.
You know, kind of just physics-based destruction all over the place. So you are blowing
good.
Up buildings and watching them crumble the way you want them to crumble. And you know,
it's a stress reliever.
It totally. Like you have a tether you can use to attach objects to each other, and
oh,
then
man.
Constrict the tether so you're
like
making helicopters crash into cars.
Zen.
And yeah, it's a very relaxing experience.
I mean, isn't it that it's effective?
I'm excited.
Very much
I
so.
Haven't seen this.
Let's,
very
let's,
much
let's
so.
Let's blow up the freeway.
I was looking forward to Fallout 4, though. That looks like that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
well.
It does look really
I
outstanding.
I like open worlds because they can wander around.
You know, and Fallout 3 was, you know, those games are always a little clunky around the edges, right? But, like, no one is doing it quite like that. So to see them finally get out there and announce Fallout 4 after developing it since, like, 2009 or
right.
whatever,
right.
It was great to finally see some of it. So
Jeff
that'll be
Grisman,
out this year.
Great to see you.
Yeah.
GiantBomb.com.
Good to see you. Yes.
And anything you want to plug, you can. Here's your chance.
You know, we have like 25 hours of video up on the site from our coverage from E3.
Nice.
A lot of us talking to, you know, a lot of different people that worked on games. WWE superstar Xavier Woods comes on at one point. You know, just a cavalcade of stars. So check some of that stuff out. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to
Thanks,
see you.
Jeff.
Yeah, great to see you.
Giant bomb.
Woo. See you.
All right, Sarah Lane.
And now he just disappears.
It's a magic. It's just kind of whoosh.
This is great. This whoosh. Is you've honestly really captured the
feeling of the old
feeling of the
But
old
you know what we're not
savers.
Doing? Remember, Paul, we used to play Halo on the set
yeah.
during commercial breaks.
We
need the LAN party, don't we?
I don't know, man. Do it.
Would Paul
Why not?
Say
you
Laporte,
got the room.
Laporte, play attention, you're on the air. But I'm fragging.
You know what?
Huh? Yeah, that's what I said. I'm busy. All right, we got a call for... actually, we don't call it a call for help, because that would be
what?
Bad. We call it a...
We call it the new screensavers.
We call it...
Why not? So is it like the show?
They're not
can't sing
related to the old show anymore. We call it... It's time...
Okay.
Time for Help Me.
That was great.
Don't laugh out loud.
What an intro.
David from Charlotte is on the line. Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing, Leo? Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
I know you're from Charlotte, but I want to thank you for wearing San Francisco Giants colors in honor of Sarah and me.
That's right. That is a smart shirt.
I love it.
It's working for you.
What can we do for you, David?
Well, I had a little bit of issue with a website that I had. I had a blog that I used to maintain back in like early 2000s. Maintained it for about 2 or 3 years, and something happened. I got distracted and stopped writing articles. But I always wanted to keep the blog live because this was like 2 or 3 years worth of content. It was a lot of work. So I always wanted to keep it live. A couple years ago, I ended up getting an email from the blog's RSS feed saying that there was a new blog post.
Oh. I knew I had written anything in of the your RSS feed?
Yes, I was subscribed to my own, you know, send the RSS feed to email. I just did that because that's how I had it set up on the site. So I knew I hadn't written anything, so I look into it and I find out that my domain had expired, which I didn't know. Which of course, that's my fault.
You never got any, like, warnings from your domain register?
I think I did, but it was probably tied to an email address that I didn't use that much anymore.
That sucks. What was the post about?
Well, it was just all of my content from the old website had been republished.
So they not only stole the name, they stole the content.
Yeah.
And the RSS feed.
Yeah.
What?
The person who bought the domain.
And then they republished the whole archive?
Yes.
That is bizarre.
The site is live now. If you go to it now, all of my content is there, minus the most.
But you can't log in.
No, I can't log in.
That's terrible.
And they put ads on it.
They stole your blog identity. Yeah.
Although that's a PSA, so out there making any money, but they're trying to make some money. Is that the idea, you think? Do you know the person who did this?
No, when it first happened, I ended up doing a who is and found an email address to the person who bought the domain. And I sent that person an email asking about my content. The person responded and told me if I wanted my blog back, I can buy it from them.
Oh, that's the game, I bet you. Because they're not making money on Keep America Beautiful ads. So Jones PC, did you by any chance trademark that?
No.
No. So ICANN, which is the group that registers these domain names, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, and then they validate registrars, people like, you know, VeriSign and Hover and all the registrars. So ICANN is responsible for all this, and they do have a process. If you feel your trademark is being violated, that you can go to ICANN and file an action, and most of the time you can get your trademark back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't ever file for a trademark, Jones is unfortunately kind of a common name, I hate to say it.
Yeah.
But I mean, he could figure out who was hosting the site and do a formal complaint with that company.
That's not a bad idea. Go to the hosting company and say, this is stolen content.
Because I mean, you wouldn't be the first person to have this happen. I mean, this is something that people do deal with. And so if it's a good...
I'm guessing the guy who did this has done it to others, right?
But it's like, if it's a good host, it's like disputing a credit card charge when there's fraud. I mean, they'll side with you. They'll make it right, hopefully.
Yeah, I would also go to your original domain registrar, although it's not probably still registered with them, I would guess, right?
I registered the domain with GoDaddy, and the person who has it now also registered.
Well, there's another option. Go to GoDaddy. So go to the hosting company.
GoDaddy,
if it's GoDaddy
will have
go
a policy
them.
About this. I'm positive.
I bet. They're not required to, but...
They do have a policy about... I was looking it up. They do have a policy where I can go... If I can prove that the content was my content, I can go to GoDaddy and file a complaint. And they could try to contact the person to have them pull the content off the site.
Well, I would do that at least. You could contact ICANN and go through there. You'll see on the ICANN website there are forms to fill out. It's a lot easier if it's a registered trademark, but it's your name, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something. I mean, your name counts for something. It's too bad it's such a common name, but it does count for something. I think that there's no guarantee. I think you're basically relying on the kindness of strangers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have... But I would go to GoDaddy. I think you're right,
Sarah. I mean, they'll be somewhere on the site to complain. Whether or not they're really good about following up on that stuff is maybe remains to be seen, but at least try.
And David, you have our sympathy.
Yes.
Does that make you feel better?
That is a bummer, and you deserve to have your site back.
That's really an interesting thing. And, of course, the other thing is remember to look for those domain... renewal emails.
Yeah.
And
I use Dotster, and I'm telling you, they email me like three times a day once I'm like within 2 months. It's so annoying, but I can't miss it.
Right.
Can't miss it.
That's good that they do that.
Yeah, they really overdo it.
Most registrars, including GoDaddy and Dotster, will let you turn on auto-renew. If you give them an up-to-date credit card, they'll automatically renew. That way you don't lose it. And you might say, well, I don't want it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. But now there's a compelling reason David just gave us for keeping the domain registry, if nothing else. The truth is, they could have made it Jones with a Z PC and still stolen all your content. Your content's on the public web. So
Well, they republished stuff that he had already published, too. That's the weird thing.
Oh, it's creepy.
It was already published.
But it's public, right?
Yeah.
So it's easy to steal.
Yeah. That's but they're using the same domain, though. Right. And, like, so it's like, it's just there twice.
It's like you're still there.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like a ghost.
I want to know who these people are and what they're after.
If you go to the Wayback Machine, go back to when I had it, you'll see all of my content.
Holy cow.
Just like
David.
Website looks different, but.
I feel bad. I think it's a terrible thing, and I think you should pursue it, especially because they are stealing the content. I don't know if you can get the domain name back.
Yeah,
they
you wrote those words.
That you own the right to it.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck, David. I'm glad you called.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Hi,
I wish I had a fridge magnet to send you. Whatever happened to that? We need.
Oh, this gotta
Paul,
be.
We need fridge magnets. Do you have any in your basement? All right, get on it, would you? By the way, I'm not going to be here next week. I'm going on vacation, going to take a couple of weeks off. Father,
where are you going?
We're going on a river cruise through from the Netherlands to
Hungary.
Oh,
yeah.
To
you
Hungary.
Told me about this. That's so fun.
I can't wait.
We're Why would you? To it. Is it the Danube?
Danube, the Mine. I always say Maine, but I've been told it's pronounced the Mine and the Rhine. Rhine, Mine, Danube.
I'm so jealous. That's going to
be
awesome.
Fun. But I need advice for cameras. So we've got, we thought this would be the week to bring in all the photographers we know and have them give us some advice. You're going to be the model for some model shots.
Okay.
Next week, Father Robert Ballister will be our host, along with Robert Herron of Herron Fidelity.
Dude.
So if you've got questions.
You get all the OGs.
Oh, yeah. I love my homies. Is that, is that the word?
Yeah, sure.
Word to the homies.
Mother. Word to the mother.
Word.
Word to your mother, in fact.
Happy Father's Day.
Whoa. I got a good one. Hey, you know, Straight Outta Compton is coming out in August.
Now,
guess who's gonna be there opening weekend?
Are you really into it?
Oh my God, it's like the best thing that ever happened to me.
It's an album?
It's a movie
it's
about
a movie
NWA,
about...
the group.
Is he a homie of yours? Are you
worried? Dr. Dre?
Dr.
Yes,
Dre.
Yes, he's a personal homie of mine. Ice Cube as well. They come over for dinner on
I
Sundays.
Love him. If you want to submit a question for Father Robert and Robert Herron, it's Robert and Robert. Here's how.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
Ian Thompson is coming up with a low-tech way to protect your phone passcodes while traveling. Catherine Hall is here. It's so much fun. I brought out my favorite photographer. She's going to have some suggestions for taking flattering portraits. She didn't want me. She didn't want me. She wanted you.
She knows that I'm a project.
Flattering.
Yeah. It's a challenge.
And Trey Radcliffe, he's going to help me with my photography needs. We're going to talk about the new Sony cameras, too. I'm excited about those. But first, a little word from our sponsor, IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV. Okay, I'm going to take a little credit for these guys. It's Don Pezet, which I've always said his name wrong, and Tim Broom were longtime trainers in the IT field. And they saw what we were doing here, and they said, and they remembered the great days of Tech TV, and they said, we could do that and teach people IT so they could get their certs in A+, and Security Plus, and Network Plus, CompTIA, Cisco, ISC Squared. They have put together an amazing resource for anybody who wants to polish their IT skills or get a better job in IT. It's IT Pro TV. Hundreds of hours of content. They actually outdid us. Two studios, 50 hours a week of content. They stream live and on demand via Chromecast, computer, or mobile device. They've got a brand new iPhone app. They, of course, are on Roku. Their new Roku app is sweet. And now you can resume playback between devices. So, you know, watch on your big screen TV, pause it, go on the road, use your iPhone. Everything you'd need to know, including the new Ethical Hacker, Hacking Forensics Investigator, and Cryptography courses. Those are great. Just done by Sean Philip Oriano. He is the guy for enterprise and military. He wrote the book on ethical hacking. They now let you search the entire site. So if there's a thing, you know, one question you're having trouble with on the exams, you can just find that that area and brush up on it. They also have the Measure Up practice exams, a great way to practice before you take the test. That's a $79 value. They've got live chat, low flat rate, monthly subscription fee, daily updates, new features monthly. You know, their clients include Harvard, MIT, UCSD, Stanford. This is all in the last couple of years. These guys are amazing. Now, here's what I want you to do. Go to itpro.tv/NSS for new screen savers and upgrade your brain with the most popular IT certifications recognized by employers, normally $57 a month. If you use our offer code NSS30, you're going to take 30% off, not for the first month, not for the first year, forever. And you get a free 7-day trial. That makes it less than $40 a month. But you got to go to itpro.tv/NSS and use the offer code NSS30. And by the way, they have a free, I really like this, they have a free level. You can watch all the shows live on their free level. And starting Monday, June 29th and July 6th, Sean Philip Oriano is coming back. He's going to record two courses in their ethical hacking series, Kali Linux and Metasploit. That is sweet. That's live and that's free with a basic account. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern every weekday. ITPro.
I want to be a penetration expert.
I think it's so cool. Somebody asked me, how do I become a pen tester, penetration tester? That's how. ITPro.tv/NSS. Use the code NSS30 to try it free for 7 days and save 30%. We're going to look into your cat's guts.
Great.
I can't wait. In just a little bit, Catherine Hall's coming up. But first, this tip.
Hi, I'm Ian Thompson. I'm a reporter with the Register based out of San Francisco. Now, here's a tip if you use gesture control to actually unlock your phone. You remember on most on screens, you just make a little spot and that opens up your phone for you. Now, that's all well and good, but you've got to be aware that you leave pieces of grease on the screen when you do that. So if you want to be absolutely secure, just take a little bit of cloth and clean off the laptop screen once you're done. Or there's the low-tech solution. Not particularly hygienic, but it does actually make sure that if somebody steals your phone, they can't unlock it that easily.
Thank you, Ian Thompson of the Register. That's actually a good tip, the smudges on the... Never would have thought about it. Look who's here! Oh, my God!
Oh, my gosh.
Catherine Hall.
Leo Laporte.
CatherineHallStudios.com.
Twit.tv.
Thank you. Nice to see you again. For many
nice
years, Catherine
you,
and I did a wonderful show called Twit Photo, and we're really glad to have you back.
Yes.
You were here for New Year's Eve. We had a great time.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
And now we have a lovely model for you.
That's me.
And yes. You're going to show us how to what?
We're going to do a couple quick tips on how to create flattering portraits.
Now, Catherine is famous. She is a much in demand.
First of all, have the model shake.
I couldn't help it. It was calling me. It wanted to be
Catherine.
Part
Catherine
of the show.
Is a very in demand wedding photographer, but you do great portraiture. We met in Tasmania on that wonderful photo journey to
Trip of a Lifetime.
Mick Olland is incredible.
Love you.
And you took some amazing portraits. Those were in natural light, not in a studio setting. Are we going to talk about how to do it in a studio setting? Or?
Well, this would be applicable to studio or
anywhere.
Natural.
Anywhere. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to do
we found somebody
tips.
Who really needs help here.
I need some help. I need somebody to take a flattering photo of me.
So what are you using right now?
I have my 85. This is a beautiful portrait lens.
Okay. 85 is long, so you're going to stand way back here.
Yeah. So the key is between 85 and 135 is... 85 to 200 really is kind of the magic number for a really beautiful compression.
Not wide angle, in other words.
No,
you want
not
a
wide
long
angle.
Lens.
Long lens because it compresses in a way that's flattering.
And if you have a zoom out to the long part of the zoom.
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
So if you have a bride, a lovely bride.
A lovely bride.
Or it could be anyone. It could be your Lisa when you're traveling.
Could be my lovely wife, my former bride. She's still my bride. Right?
Yeah. She was a bride very recently.
Could be
recently.
Your daughter.
Right.
Could be
my daughter.
Could be anyone.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about posing first.
All right.
So one of the worst, so think about camera. Easiest way to think about it, whatever's closest to the camera is going to distort it as looking the biggest. Because it's two-dimensional space.
Right.
Right? So, for example, if you stand like this, which people do.
People
like,
thrust.
A lot of times you say, like, lean up against the wall.
Not a good
wall,
choice.
You guys
and you kind of lean like
this
that.
To be a big old focal
now
point.
They tell me all this time.
But that's actually a common thing. Say, like, okay, I'm going to have you, I'm going to take a picture of you, and then... Ooh, I'm restricted.
Okay, let me get out of your way.
You go like this, right?
We're tethering.
People do that
Catherine.
All the time.
Yeah.
Or they lean like this.
But that makes your hip and your lower body stick out.
Okay. All right.
So that's going to
so
look much bigger.
So we're going to do before and afters. So Sarah's a good sport. She's
and we'll show
work
you
with
these pictures as we
oh,
go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. So, okay. So the worst thing you can do is have someone, particularly female, like straight on, because that's the way they're going to look the widest. So
the widest?
Yeah. We don't want them
you
looking
wanna
wide.
You want to see shape.
So I'm gonna propose her in a not a good way first.
Okay.
Sorry,
right.
Sarah. We're going to work with me on this.
Sure.
So we're going to be wide.
Let's be.
The next thing, too, is we're going to stick her.
She looks like the Hulk.
women want their breasts to look bigger, their waist to look smaller, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but instead of doing that, we're going to kind of have our nice little wide stance, and we're going to kind of just stand.
Do you do this with your brides?
So you could even, and people will do this.
This is their most important
picture
of their life.
This seems exaggerated, but they do this. Like,
they
you just stand here like this.
That's not a good.
Stand still, kind of, and then you can kind of lean back.
I should be before, and Sarah should be after.
We're trying to prove a point here, Leo.
Okay.
Okay.
You're never going to get me look good and good.
All right.
So Sarah's standing right or not?
Okay. And then you can even bring your, just have your arms kind of hang down.
See, we're going to make Sarah look terrible.
And then even another thing that people will do, often if they're laughing or whatever, they'll pull their head back and we'll give them kind of a double jit.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I didn't know this was going to happen. I apologize.
She loves me. She's got this.
Try to return. You got me.
This will teach you to leave,
but
Twit.
She still looks tiny.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right, we'll run with that.
Yeah. Hope you liked
it. Okay, there's the shot. Now, let's make it good.
We're going to bring the feet together, right?
Okay.
Okay.
And then we want to push your hips back. So that whatever, and we don't want them to be facing straight towards the camera. So we're going to kind of turn their body this way. Okay. Their face can be looking straight towards the camera, mm-hmm. but body kind of turned. And then we want to create a little bit of shape in the legs. So you want to have them push this leg, whatever leg is closest to you, forward. And what that will do is naturally push their hip back. Mm. So it's going to distort and it's going to create a much more womanly shape. And it's going to push the hip back and it's going to distort in flattering ways. And then another thing you'll say is chin forward and down. So we're not getting
that double
chin effect.
I feel like a million teens on Instagram have already heard this advice.
That's what's funny.
It's always the same thing.
You see a million pictures like this.
And do the hip pop and have the arm out so your arm looks skinnier.
Yeah. So then the hand on the waist, the key with that is, a lot of the reason why people do that is it creates an illusionary waist. So it makes you actually look skinnier. So if you look at how my waist looks skinnier when my hands are up.
Yeah, because you're.
So the key is you actually, people naturally put their hand here.
No, don't.
No. You're going to put it on the skinniest part. And actually, I usually recommend putting it on, if you're going to have this pop forward, then just from a symmetry perspective.
The other side.
Pretend you're a loaf of bread and squeeze the middle.
Yeah. We're going to do our after on this one.
This feels so natural.
But you look so beautiful,
Well,
Sarah.
That's an important point. Often the most natural is the least attractive. Mm. Beauty is pain, isn't it?
Right.
Well, I think a big part of it, too, is like we're in an environment where she's not really feeling it 100%.
No. Really not. But, this is super awk.
But let's just say she's someone that like is wanting her picture taken.
Right.
You know, I'll like work with them a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, let's push. Oh, you look so good. Push your hip back. Oh, that looks amazing. And then they'll get really into it.
That's okay. Now, this is a tip for the photographer.
You
talk to them?
Yes.
And you say how beautiful they are?
Yes.
Oh, I'm loving this.
And
this
you can't
is
be
great.
Fake, Leo. You have to look like you got
to. You have to believe it. Oh, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. I love it. That's great.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you're looking good.
Okay. Lots of feedback. Get them incited.
Because it's sort of distracting them from the awkwardness of what's going
on.
Exactly. And you're reassuring them that what you're seeing as a photographer is looking good.
Exactly.
That's for me as somebody who's taking pictures of me. I wonder, well, how crappy does that look?
Yeah,
so this way you're reassuring
me. Especially if they're like frowning
or something. Yeah, or sticking my stomach.
No, a huge part of, they always say that a big part of photography is the subject's reflection of the photographer itself.
Right.
And
that's why all my pictures look
terrible. Enthusiasm is really important. So you can see the before and afters. We'll move on to our next tip, lens choice.
I don't know. Well, a nose could be, I know that if you, like with your camera phone, which is a pretty wide angle lens, if you get right in there, your schnoz gets like inflated. So that's would be a bad thing.
A lot of people don't want that.
Yeah.
Don't want that.
So a lot of times with camera phones, the key is to zoom in.
Yeah.
And get back.
People
won't do that though.
Right.
You'll be like, ooh, can you take my picture? And then they'll stand right here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, that's one reason you're using that lens, right? So you don't have
to. So we're gonna switch this up a little.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna put on something that's gonna replicate more of what a camera lens would be. A camera phone. Okay.
Yeah. What do you got there?
This is a 16-35.
Okay. So it's a little more wide.
And everything for people that are, this is a full frame sensor for anyone that's curious. So this is wide. So we're gonna kind of get right in. This is what often happens. You know, it's like, oh, can you take a picture of me? And then they get down.
Let's see that. I want to see how ugly that. How ugly can you make Sarah?
This is so weird.
You look great. You look fine. That's gorgeous. She looks great. There's a sun coming out of her head.
Yeah, that's the framing.
Should we think about that?
Issue.
Yeah.
So as you can see, this is obviously not.
I look like I belong on a fresco in a church or something.
That's what I thought.
You know.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Orthodox.
So it's obviously not flattering.
That's your halo.
So just look at this difference between what we can do and achieve.
So we're going to make it look better.
Yeah.
With a longer lens.
So changing nothing other than the lens
itself. If you didn't have multiple lenses with a camera phone, you're saying step back, zoom in. All right.
So it's the same thing like you mentioned at the beginning of the show. If you have a zoom lens going towards the higher number.
Okay.
It's going to do that same compression.
Zoom it.
So now it's going to be, she's gone right into
character. A lot of selfies don't look great. I think that's part of the reason, especially if you're doing it yourself. You're really close.
You can see the before and after. Obviously, lens choice.
I love it.
Yeah, it becomes very crucial. And zooming in. And then our last tip is lighting. Let's get Trey in here.
Trey Radcliffe. All right. Me and Trey. Trey Radcliffe, everybody. From StuckInCustoms.com.
Yay,
great
Trey.
To see you. Is that you're an Arcanum teacher,
yes,
aren't you?
I am an Arcanum.
Is this the Arcanum on here?
Yeah.
No, this is one of our secret symbols we have.
Nobody will know.
So here's the deal.
Yes.
This is a common situation where it's actually, I'm gonna have you guys stick them forward just a smidgen.
This would be a good photo. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm excited too.
This we could read cool.
this. We
yeah,
can use
yeah,
this
yeah.
could be my Facebook homepage.
Don't put this pressure on me here. Okay, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
This is a very common, like if you're in a city environment or if you're in trees and it's overcast.
Yes.
So we have this soft source above us.
Yep.
And
it's dark. And
it's not too...
Not flattering.
It's not flattering in the sense of at least it's not like crazy sun, but it's not lighting up your eyes. You got
dark circles. Exactly.
Toppy is no good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a before picture.
All right.
Okay. And there's two views, so I have to get back kind of far. Oh, jeez.
Too much tongue. This is stepping stones, Leah. Stepping stones.
Work my way up.
Yeah. You should have saved that moment from when we were lighting you properly.
Yeah.
No.
How is he going to Facebook profile this? All right. So we're going to go ahead and play. So you can see when you look at the image.
Yeah.
That there's going to be underneath the eyes are lost. They look like dark, sort of.
Yeah.
Not sure why it's popping.
Yeah.
Dark
you don't
circles,
even see my eyes.
Not
I look
good
like
contouring
little slits.
On the face. So when you're working with sun, the sun's there. So depending on where the source is coming from, you'll use the reflectors in different ways. But since it is coming from above in this toppy environment, such as a cloudy day, then we need to capture it and do it at an angle.
And Ryan's actually looking at the result, right? So he's kind of adjusting that.
Yeah. So this is going to fill up. What this is going to do...
That's very attractive, Leo.
Beautiful. It's going to soften the features and get rid of those harsh shadows.
Yeah.
But more than anything, we want eye ping. So let's remove it for a second.
I want eye ping.
And we can see there's nothing in their eyes. They're dark sockets.
They're dead.
It's not attractive.
We look like zombies.
Two crypt keepers.
Let's
bring it out. Let's bring some life to their eyes. Beautiful. And that's as easy as just a simple reflector. All right, and I'll do the... You're killing me, Leo. The before and afters have to be the same, so I think you have to kiss them again or something. There we go. Perfect.
Doesn't have to be so noisy. It's just a photo. It's either tongue or noise, Trey.
Take your pick. Tongue or noise.
That's great. My husband and I, look at that. Thank goodness they legalized it. Yep.
So anyway.
Yeah.
As our final tip today,
in summation,
using reflector, particularly on days that are over, when it's overcast out, to fill
the light
eyes.
Makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Don't we love light?
Yes, we do. You know, I'm jealous. I didn't get kissed this whole segment.
You have to get in front of the camera from now on. Catherine Hall is the best. Trey, we're going to see you in just a little bit. I love talking about photography, and I'm so glad that you could be here.
We love talking about photography with you,
Leo. Yeah, it's so much fun. Thank you, Catherine. CatherineHallStudios.com.
And thanks, Sarah.
Sarah Lane, she's run off. Yay. She's not going to be with
hiding.
Us any longer.
She's scared I might put her back in.
Hey, let's take a break. We want to see what Jeff Jarvis has to say about ways to be selfish.
I'm Jeff Jarvis, a co-host of This Week in Google. And my tip is, of course, that I love Waze. And I'm telling you, always listen to the Waze lady. If the Waze lady tells you to go somewhere, go there. If you don't, you'll regret it. She'll get back at you. But here's my tip. I have to say that in New Jersey, which is traffic hell, I have a few secret routes. And you know what I do? I'm going to confess. I turn off Waze when I come to my secret route so I don't share it with anybody else. It's ungenerous, uncivilized, and selfish. But hey, I'm from Jersey. You got a problem with that? That's my tip.
Yeah, I got a problem with that, Jarvis. Jeff Jarvis, ladies and gentlemen, ways to be selfish. I love that. You know who's the least selfish guy I've ever met? This cat. This cat right here. He's a beautiful, beautiful human being. Mr. Trey Ratcliffe. Nice to see you. I thought
nice
you lived in New Zealand. What are you doing here?
I brought you a present from New Zealand.
Oh, you did?
You know, I have a farm down there, a little family
farm. Do you
farm.
Really? You have a farm in Queenstown?
And I am a beekeeper.
Is this your honey?
I have
honey?
A 250,000 bees, and this is some of our homemade honey.
How do you know how many bees you have?
Well, there's about 50,000 in a hive. It's an estimate. We don't do inventory on the bees.
I love it. Trey Ratcliffe, of course, everybody's favorite photographer. His website, Stuck in Customs. This is Stuck in Honey.
Yes.
I love it. Handcrafted artisan. I love honey.
We don't sell that or anything. It's just for gifts for people that we love.
Oh, well, thank you, Trey. That's really sweet of you. And the bees eat thyme, apricot, viper's bugloss.
Yeah, it's a pretty purple flower.
And lavender.
Yeah.
I got to taste. Can I taste it?
Yeah, you can. It's pretty thick.
You're going to end up with a
sticky finger.
Mm-hmm. Mmm. So you're in town. You're in August. You're going to do photo walks all over the United States.
Yes. This is actually a little bit secret, although it's going to be officially announced.
Did I just reveal something?
No, it's all right. We're going to announce it on the blog in the beginning of July. And we're going to do, we're getting like this big rock star tour bus that sleeps like 12 people.
I've always wanted to do this.
So we're starting in New York City.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit the 12 biggest cities in the U.S. And we'll do huge photo walks in every city. These are totally free events. You know, the TWiT audience is super welcome. You can come out with me and take photos and get some tips. It's just going to be a nonstop party.
If they go to stuckincustoms.com in a few weeks, they'll have the details
there. Yeah, early July. We have the whole route mapped out, what cities we're going to be in. Everywhere. New York, Miami, Chicago. It's going to be great.
There's lots of reasons to go to Stuck in Customs. Of course, Trey gives away his photography, puts images up on Instagram, on Facebook, on, of course, Google Plus, where you just show me you have 85 billion views with a B.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What the heck?
Yeah, they update it every day. It's just unbelievable. I asked, is this accurate? And they actually keep track of every time their servers have to serve up my images.
So it's real accurate. 85 billion views. Congratulations. But you know why?
It's crazy.
You're an amazing photographer.
Well, thanks. I just love taking photos. Occasionally, I take some pretty photos.
Oh, once in a while. Look at that. Is that China?
Yeah, that's deep in the south of China. It took me 10 years to find that place.
That is gorgeous. Not Guilin.
Yeah. It's near Guilin. Yeah, and that's near the Li River. That's not the Li River.
Those amazing little towers of stone.
Yeah, it's karst rock. And it's actually the same thing that happens in the Grand Canyon. But in the Grand Canyon, there's no fauna to hold back the erosion. And here, since there's so many trees and like vines and stuff, it holds it together.
They're incredible.
And so there's just a different kind of landscape.
So beautiful. I don't know what we're going to talk about today. I guess the big news I'd like to talk to you about, if you don't mind, is you, Sony, you're the guy who got me shooting with the A7. I remember when you very famously abandoned your Nikon, your D1, one of the best cameras in the world.
It was a D800, I think.
Well, you had shifted to the D800, right?
Right.
And then
all the Nikons.
Yeah. And then you said, you know what? I'm going mirrorless.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I got a lot of hate for that article. actually, that article is now like 2 years old. And I mean, there's thousands of comments and... You know, there's a lot of DSLR people. I don't really mind if people want to use DSLRs. I'm just explaining all these very cogent, correct reasons why I've gone.
They're correct, ladies and gentlemen.
But, I mean, a lot of these DSLR people, they're like, you can pry this out of my cold, dead hands. And I'm like, maybe someone will someday.
You're shooting here the A7R. This is the first, one of the first, there was first the A7 and then the A7R releases of this. You can see immediately it's much smaller. You're using a Leica lens on this. And it's one of the advantages of the A7 is you can use an adapter and you can use any lens, a Nikon,
absolutely,
a Canon, or in this case, the very nice glass from Leica. But I've heard people say, well, Trey's a landscape photographer. Of course he doesn't need a DSLR.
Well, that's of course, a ridiculous thing to say. because, you know, this camera is great for any kind of photography.
I think
For portraits, for action, for sports. It's unbelievable. And, you know, the neat thing that just happened this week is Sony just announced the new versions of these two cameras.
Right.
which are not small upgrades. They're major upgrades.
So the A7, the Alpha 7 series has the Alpha 7, the Alpha 7S, the Alpha 7R, the Alpha 7-2, which just relatively recently came out.
That's right.
The newest one is going to be the top of the line. It's $3,000, the A7R Mark II.
That's right.
Tell me about that. What makes this is not it, by the way. It won't be out till probably next month or the month
right.
after.
I think I'll get my hands on it next month.
You can pre-order, I think, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I keep going to B&H, hitting that pre-order button, nothing happens.
Oh, it's going to be unbelievable. So the A7R, the reason I use this is because it's 36 megapixel, and I just want as much
super high resolution
megapixelage as possible.
Right.
Well, the new one, the A7R II, is 42.4 megapixels.
42.
Just enormous.
But wait a minute, Trey. We keep telling people, oh, don't worry about megapixels, because then they get really small, and
I would keep worrying about megapixels, because if you look at like the Retina displays that are coming out, the big displays, there's more and more megapixels that we're pushing into our screens, and you might only be in these locations once, so you want to get as maximum resolution as possible. Screens will catch up with it.
I know you don't do this, but for photographers like me, where I often kind of miss the shot or the composition is not great, the ability to crop a high-resolution image down is very nice.
Yeah, there you've got plenty of room to crop.
Yeah.
The other great thing about the A7R II that's coming out is it finally has this five-axis stabilization.
Now, they came out with that. I guess they licensed it from Olympus because it's in the OMD cameras. They came out with that in the A7 II, and it's...
That's right.
It's pretty amazing.
It's great because it lets you shoot in super low light. It makes all of your lenses, even the Leica lenses, it stabilizes all the lenses because the stabilization's in the body.
So it's not just handshake. Because you've got the stabilization, you don't have to have as high a shutter speed for a low light shot. Is that
That's right. It allows you to collect more light in a more steady way, right? So you can have a slower shutter speed, and you can also crank up the ISO. Like the A7R II goes over 100,000 ISO.
Isn't that going to get grainy as heck, though? I mean,
it can get a little bit grainy.
Yeah.
But, you know, if anyone uses Lightroom, there's that slider in Lightroom, just drop that right down. And the algorithms are so good at getting rid of the grain nowadays. And also, frankly, the sad truth, you know, is that 99% of people that see your photo are going to look at it, like, on Facebook or Instagram or Google Plus or whatever. They're not going to zoom in and see the noise. So you have to think about your audience that's seeing it. You never see noise when you're zoomed out.
Right.
You see that little 480 pixel version.
Right.
So don't worry about the noise.
So this is your daily shooter right now, the A7R.
Yeah.
You're going to go to the R2, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait for it. It's going to be fantastic.
I use the A7S, which is only 12 megapixels because it's so good in low light.
Yeah.
But the other thing I like about the A7S is video, and that's one thing the R2 is going to be stunning.
The R2 does 4K video.
In camera.
In camera.
You don't need a separate recorder like you do with the A7S.
No, it's fantastic. There's a lot of other new features, too. Like, now it has 399 autofocus points, phase detection system, so it will focus 40% faster than this one.
Wow.
They've also changed the way...
We should point out, by the way, right now, you don't get paid by Sony in any way.
No, I don't.
You buy these cameras.
I get free cameras, but I get free cameras from everybody.
Right.
So that,
everybody
you
wants
know,
Trey to shoot
field.
With their, yeah. I don't get free cameras, and I still buy these because they blow me away.
Yeah.
And then the ability to use, say, a Leica lens, which you're doing with the body, I've even seen people say, like Steve Huff, actually, this is better than a Leica body. This is a great body.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the Leica bodies are terrible. I wish they... I don't know why Leica makes bodies.
They make great lenses.
You know, they've got these horrible German masochistic UIs.
Oh, it's horrible.
I mean,
yeah, okay, good. Thank you.
I mean, I don't even think Germans like using them.
I was feeling bad. All right, that's good to know. I'm trying to take the lens cap off. You've got some sort of safety on here.
Slider.
Oh, there you go. It's good I didn't pry it off.
It's
like
a child-proof cap.
What is this lens? This is... child or Leo-proof. Yeah.
This is the 21mm Summicron f1.4.
So it's wide. This is good for landscapes. This would be great, right?
It's great for landscapes. It's great for star shots. Some of my favorite star shots in New Zealand I've taken with this one.
You get amazing long exposures, and you can see the star fields moving. They're so beautiful.
It's great. You know something I didn't realize is that you can see 70% more of the Milky Way when you're south of the equator. There's just more Milky Way.
So that's why you moved to New Zealand.
That's one reason.
More Milky Way, ladies and gentlemen. That's a good reason to go.
Yeah.
Now, the Sony, this is their high-end professional camera, but they also make what many agree is the best pocket camera as well.
That would be this one right here, Leo.
Oh, you got it too. Of course you. Look at that. Look at that Starfield. That is 70% more Milky Way, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that zoomed in. This is in
Is this near Lake Tekapo?
This is actually a World Heritage Site because the skies are so amazing there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's in Tekapo on the South Island of New Zealand.
Okay.
It's about a three-hour drive from
You're an amazing, amazing man, I'll tell you.
So I tell you what, this
is the
RX 100.
100?
100.
And this is the new Mark IV of this. I bought, I think, the RX 102, maybe the 3. This is the 3 we're looking at right now.
And so, they just announced the 4.
So the 4, what's going to be new in the 4?
Well, 4 is unbelievable, okay, because they're doing the same sensor stacking that they're doing on the new, on all the Sonys.
Yeah.
It takes pictures at 16 frames per second, which is just remarkable.
So that's like a motor wind, so you can get sports shots or kids.
Yeah, it autofocuses all those shots. I think it has over 100 different focus points. It's super duper fast.
This is also going to do great video. In fact, what did you say, 960 frames per second?
Well, it does
super slow-mo.
It does 4K video by itself.
Yeah.
But also, you can go all the way up to 960 frames per second, or gradations of that down, 720.
Which would be good for slow motion.
Oh yeah, it's great for slow motion.
Yeah, wow.
Really fun technique.
So you use both?
Yes, I use this a lot for quick street photography kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is primarily what I use at Burning Man, by the way, one of these little jobs.
Right. It's dusty there. You don't want to bring a great camera to Burning Man, right?
As long as it's not dusty, you can get out your good stuff. But it is dusty a lot, it's safe to keep. It's got this amazing viewfinder. Sony has the most incredible technology here.
Now, this is one thing I hear people say they don't like about mirrorless cameras is you're looking at a video tap instead of the optical. Is this an optical viewfinder?
It's a video viewfinder. So you're seeing, it's digital. You're seeing what's actually on the sensor. But
interesting. The sensor is the camera.
Yeah. Ah. And it's the same way on the Sony A7.
Oh, I didn't realize
and
that.
So I think it's fantastic. All these people that are like, you know, they prefer optical. I think they're a little nuts because you're actually getting to see what the sensor
is actually seeing. Yeah.
Right? And I'm able to get much sharper photos with this because I can zoom in and I know that it's in focus. There's no doubt in the world. And I found even with my good Nikon systems, you know, you're optically focusing off the mirror. But then when the mirror pops up, if your sensor is just like half of a millimeter off, you might be a little bit soft. Like I got soft photos with my Nikon quite a bit.
That's the bane of photographers because while it's all about composition, light, color, you also want the technical aspects to be correct.
Right.
And anything that's soft focus, you're going to lose the picture.
Yeah, that's right. It's so frustrating to come back with a soft photo. And every one of my photos with this thing has just been sharp as a tack. I'm able to zoom in and make sure it's good.
So the A7R Mark II is going to be a good choice. And this, you have the RX 100 Mark III, but we're going to look at the Mark IV. How much will that be?
I think it's only $1,000.
Only $1,000.
Okay. We actually, people ask me all the time what camera to get. And
for anybody that doesn't want to go pro, this is a great choice. Right?
Yeah, we have some camera recommendations on the website. We have it like good, better, best. You know, Montgomery Wards used to sell like washer and dryers. So we have good, better, best at three different price points.
So I follow Trey, as you all should, on Facebook, on Google+, on Insta. Your Instagram stuff is great, too. I didn't know you did Instagram until you were on a couple of
weeks
ago.
I do them all.
Yeah. The website is Stuck in Customs, a great place to go to learn HDR photography. He's got a great HDR tutorial. Learn about the Arcanum, which is the really interesting, we talked about it last time you were on, school for masters and apprentices.
That's right. We call it the Magical Academy of Artistic Mastery.
I love it.
And, you know, Catherine Hall was just here. She's one of our masters.
She's a master, yeah.
And it's really fun because you come in as an applicant. You just want to get better at photography, right?
Yeah.
And you fill out this really fun form on the website. And then you kind of sit there in a vat of holding. That's what we call it, like an orphanage, until a master comes and selects you, right? So it's really cool because masters get to actually select who they want to teach. Every master picks about 20 apprentices. And then you start leveling up with all your apprentices. It's sort of like a game. You have quests.
I need to do this.
Man, it's great fun. You get critiques.
You've got some of my favorite photographers, not just Catherine Hall. Lisa Bettany is a master. Who else is a master on there?
We have all kinds of people, and people serve in various roles as masters.
There's some of the masters on the screen for those of you watching video.
You never know who's going to choose you. It's just, it's great fun. Everyone has something to learn. Everyone has something to teach. And
very nice.
We really feel like we're redefining photography education. We've got about 800 apprentices in there right now.
Love
people
that.
Are loving it, so we're super thrilled.
Well, photography is my favorite thing to do when I'm not doing this, and you've been such an inspiration and a great friend. And I know you had pneumonia. You're feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm about 80%. I was just in the hospital a few days ago, in fact.
I know.
But I was like, I got to go get on Leo's show.
I can't believe
I get
it.
Out
he
here.
Was. And
I
Lisa
ran
said,
out with a...
"Well, no, he's in San Francisco." I said, "No, he's in the hospital in New Zealand right now." I saw a picture of him and his daughters.
Yeah.
And but so you're feeling better though. Please don't.
No, I'm feeling better.
You got to take it easy.
You know, we should have talked about this before you kissed me.
Is it communicable?
Yeah.
Trey Ratcliffe, ladies and gentlemen, stuck in cut. There you are. I love that picture. You do look.
Sweet
I was.
Girls.
I felt like, oh, Trey does not. He looks sad and unhealthy.
Yeah.
But at least
yeah.
you had your family with you, and I'm glad you're feeling much better.
Oh, you know, when the kids are around, it always makes you
I
feel
know,
better.
I know, isn't that
you
know? Great?
Yeah.
Well, everybody loves Trey Ratcliffe. Are you playing? I see. I'm just looking at the notes, and of course, I did not follow the notes. You're playing with the Phantom. The DJI
I am.
Phantom.
The new Phantom 3 is incredible.
Are you drone photography too?
I do it all. I love the Phantom.
Well, come
that
back
thing
and
is amazing.
Talk about it, will you?
Yeah. The Phantom 3
run out
insane.
Of time. Look at this shot. This is in the Forbidden City, right?
I got arrested in China for taking this. It turns out
they
that
thought you
it's
were a spy.
It's called the Forbidden City for a reason.
Yeah, you're forbidden to shoot Phantom shots there. That was a beautiful shot, though.
Oh,
that
thanks.
Was a beautiful shot.
I've always wanted that shot because, you know, you can't get up in the air in China.
Yeah,
there's no helicopters.
Yeah, right.
There's no private helicopters. So the only way to do it is just you gotta ride dirty with a quad.
And get arrested.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad they let you go.
Just a short detainment.
That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Trey Ratcliffe, stuckincustoms.com. We've got lots more. This is probably the biggest show we've ever done. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about lots more. But first, a word from our sponsor. We couldn't do this without our great sponsors, including Braintree. If you're a mobile app developer and you're looking for a way to do payments in your app, check out Braintree. It couldn't be easier. Just a few lines of code, and you are suddenly accepting everything. PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, credit cards, and a whole lot more. It works across all platforms. And the most important thing is your customers will love it. You know that because Uber uses it. What is it people say about Uber? It was so easy. I just got out of the car. The payment, I didn't. It was, that's Braintree. Airbnb uses it. Lyft uses it. Hotel Tonight, Living Social, Muntree. GitHub started using it when they first began taking payments. They're using it now from your first dollar to your billionth dollar. They will scale with you. It is a full stack payment solution, and we love it. By the way, don't code this yourself. Superior fraud protection. They know about security. Braintree is a full stack payment solution. Everything your customers want, your customers will love it, and you should not be writing this code because they are experts, not only making it easy for your customers, but in fraud protection, in customer service, fast payouts to you. You'll like that. And it's a little sweetener, a little New Zealand honey in your tea. Braintree Payments is going to give you your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free. Trey, you got to get your developers to use this. BraintreePayments.com. It's cool, isn't it?
Curtis, get on that.
Curtis, BraintreePayments.com/NSS. We thank them so much for their support of the new screensavers. Now, a little help. Time for some help me, help me, help me, help me.
Help needs
and
buddy.
Let's sing a song, why don't we? Forget the rest of the show. Forget Sarah from Carlsbad. It's karaoke time. No, we can't do that to her. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Leo. Hi, Sarah. How you doing?
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Love the flowers. Are those real flowers? They're beautiful.
No, they're not.
Well,
they
that's nice.
Real,
you don't
though.
Have to water them. You don't have to do anything about it. It's like you dressed the set just for us. What can we do to help you?
Okay, so I've got an email problem. I've been using Thunderbird for years.
Love it.
And I started using Inbox when it rolled out.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the sorting, and I love the being able to file it in the different ways and the way it does it. But the only way I can get my IMAP email into it, my regular ISP email into it, is to I have a filter in Thunderbird.
Right.
And I, you know, as soon as something comes in, it automatically copies it over to the...
I understand what you're doing. Let me simplify, because there's a much easier way to do that. So just to explain, Thunderbird is great. It's been around forever. It's the Mozilla project. Mm-hmm. It is a very traditional, usually POP, but it can also do IMAP email client. I love it. It's a desktop client. So what it does, it goes out, it gets your mail, you read it, you respond to it, it sends it. Inbox is very different. Inbox is a interface that Google created about a year ago now, just for Gmail. It's a Gmail client. It doesn't, in fact, replace the existing Gmail web client. It's just another way of looking at another window into your Gmail. But it's great on mobile. We talked about this on iPad today. Did you ever end up using it, Sarah?
You know, I did a spin for a few days, and I thought, oh, this is really interesting. It's really gonna. It kind of wants to sort of machine learn habits and what's right. important and based on contacts and all sorts of factors. And I never quite got it to stick for me. It always felt a little too unnatural based on my learned behavior with email.
I meet people like that all the time.
Yeah,
it's not for everyone.
Yeah, I abandoned it eventually, but I go in there every couple months and see what's changed.
The prerequisite, by the way, it's improved a lot. They've added signatures.
Yeah.
It's getting better.
Yeah, it is.
The prerequisite, of course, is that you're using Gmail, and a good test to see if you'll be a good candidate for Inbox, which is, by the way, no longer invite-only, anybody can get it at inbox.gmail.com, is to turn on the categorization, the automatic categorization in Gmail. You know, Gmail will let you have forums. What is it? Forums. There's a promos box. If you turn on those automatic categories and you feel good about it, then Inbox might be the next thing. But let me ask you, Sarah from Carlsbad, are you using Gmail as your main email client?
No. I'm not.
So that's the problem. You're using Thunderbird to go out and get email from your internet. Hey, who's that? Get in here. Who's that?
That's my son.
Hey, William. What's his name?
That's William.
He's just pushing William. Get out of here. I'm talking here. Hi, William. So, of course, Inbox is not going to work with your internet service provider or whatever's mail. You might want to use it. So here's what I suggest. You can continue to use Thunderbird if you want. You can even use Thunderbird the way you're using it, getting it. Just the key is not to delete from server. So that's a setting in Thunderbird. Don't delete the mail from the server if it's POP mail. Next thing you want to do is go into your set up a Gmail account if you don't already have one. Anybody with a Google account.
I have one.
Yeah, of course you do. Who doesn't, right? And you can go in there and you can have Gmail get the mail, just like Thunderbird does, from your whoever else
is. But it's IMAP, so it won't do that.
Yeah, it will. Sure it will. Google
not
will.
Not from my server. Not from my
ISP. It won't get it from your internet service provider?
Right.
Google won't do it?
It gives me an error every time.
And your ISP won't let you download it via POP. It'll only let you do IMAP?
No, they changed it a couple years ago for security, I think.
Ah, that makes sense. We spammers have ruined it for everybody, haven't they? Well, I'm afraid you're out of luck. Inbox really is just for Gmail, and I thought I had a clever solution, which was to get your email into Gmail and then use Inbox for it. So you're doing the next best thing. You're letting Thunderbird send it to your Gmail account.
Yeah, so I'm just going to have to watch it because I'm going on a trip next month, and so I was going to see if I could find a way to...
I'd switch ISPs is what I would do. I think that's not nice. In fact, I don't use my ISP. I have Comcast. I don't use Comcast Mail for my mail for anything. I use Google Mail for everything because it's so flexible. You know, I can use an IMAP server at Fastmail. See, that's weird. I think your ISP is blocking it because I get my mail from Fastmail.
Yeah. I mean, Google. I have SarahLane.com email go through Gmail. Like, I only see it through a Gmail interface because
it's something your ISP's doing.
Yeah. It's a bummer that they would restrict that.
But that is basically, if you think of Gmail as a window on, I mean, Inbox as a window onto your Gmail, then you'll understand. It's not a separate app. It's just a different way of looking at your Gmail. And that's why it has to be Gmail. Where are you going?
We're going to visit family.
And where is the family?
Some in Kansas and some in Tennessee.
Great. So you're going to have a road trip?
Mm-hmm.
Does William get to go, or are you going to leave him at home with a box of Cheerios?
No, William and Anna both get to go.
Well, that's nice of you. I think you're very nice. Is it really hot in Carlsbad right now?
Yes, sir. It's in the 90s.
Ay, ay, ay.
It probably gets a lot hotter, too.
It's a dry heat.
Yeah, when I talked to Tanya the other day, it was 107.
Yeah! Ah!
Sarah. So 90 is positively bomb?
Yeah, it's cooling off.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry
about.
You get
a light coat. Weather like that.
Sarah, Sarah, it's great to talk to you. All the best.
Thank
Have
you.
A great road trip. And say hi to William for me. Where is he? Is he over there?
He'll do.
I'm looking. Is he behind here?
He got his cameo, and now he's out, you know, hanging out in the dry heat.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks,
Megan
Sarah.
Maroney is... Oh, by the way, if you want to be on the show, we'd like you to. Remember, Father Robert Ballasaire joins Robert Herron next week as I'm on vacation. Here's how you can get on the show.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
I am Megan Maroney, and you might know me from such shows as iOS Today, i5 for the iPhone, and Tech News Tonight. But I know a thing or two about other stuff. For example, YouTube. You probably already know that you can pause or restart a video with the space bar. But did you also know that you could go back 5 seconds with the left arrow? This can be helpful if you're watching any of my shows, because sometimes I talk very fast. You can also go forward 5 seconds with the right arrow. This can be helpful watching my shows because sometimes I am very boring, but only for 5 seconds, I promise. You can use numbers to skip ahead in videos too. The numbers represent percentages of the total time of the video. So hit 1 to go forward 10%, hit 2 to go forward 20%, and 5 to go forward to the halfway point of the video or 50%. For full screen, just hit F. To get out of full screen, hit Escape. You want to watch in slow-mo, hit Shift, the plus sign, and the less than sign. To speed me up, try Shift, the plus sign, and the greater than sign. This last tip won't work in all browsers.
Okay, this is a really exciting part of the show, because not only am I joined by Holly Gans, who has some very interesting scientific stuff to talk about, but you are holding a real kitten. Therefore, yes. This is the best. Look at this girl. This is Venom. This is Tanya Hall's cat, who I have just learned comes to Twit, like, and is like an office cat. My cats would never do that, and is super adorable. But this actually ties into what we're going to talk about, because, so I understand that you had a Kickstarter project, which was very successful. In fact, you asked for several $1,000s. You ended up raising well over $20,000. So right on. Kickstarter's over. But this is a project to map the microbiome, is that correct?
That's correct.
Of cats, and that's domestic cats and big cats, big wild cats. Come here, you little rascal. So what does that mean? I'm not familiar with the microbiome of cats or anything.
Yeah, definitely that's the place to start. So the microbiome are all the tiny things that live in and on us, like bacteria and fungi and other little tiny things that are microscopic.
Why? Goodbye, my love. All right. Yes.
Yes. So I'm back. The microbiome, all the tiny things, bacteria, fungi, protists, other little things that live in and on us, and viruses. And
sure.
And they affect our health, our metabolism, our nutrition, our immune system.
And a lot of that stuff is like, we've got it inside us and it's good, right?
Yes, most of them are beneficial.
Right, okay. So, I love the photo here on this. We're looking at the Kickstarter site for Kitty Biome. So what is it about what's inside cats specifically that's of interest to you and the public?
We're interested in cats because we love cats.
Well, I hear that, sister.
There's a number of projects on humans, but we thought that it would be important to understand what makes cats healthy.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is that if you can somehow learn more about the flora and kind of just sort of the gut inner workings of a cat, you would be able to better keep the cat healthy, treat diseases, that sort of thing.
Yeah, there are lots of cats that have similar conditions as people in terms of irritable bowel disease and diabetes, obesity.
Mm-hmm. Cats sometimes have problems with kidneys. That's a pretty common thing for cats, especially when they get older.
That's right.
So, all right. So what will the Kitty Biome do? So, you know, if I say, all right, I've contributed to the Kickstarter. I'm excited. You guys are getting into production soon. I think you said next month.
That's right.
So how, what will I get? How will I participate? How is this going to change my life?
Well,
my cat's lives.
If you sign up your cats or a cat, we'll send you a sampling kit, and it will contain a swab and some gloves and a stick and a tube, and you collect a very, very tiny, tiny amount of cat poop, put it in the tube, which contains ethanol, and shake it up, and then put it in an envelope and mail it back to us. We're going to sequence it using the Illumina MiSeq.
Uh-huh.
So we're using contemporary genetics and actually look at this variable region in the, of the bacterial genome to characterize all the bacteria in that sample. And then what you're going to get back is access to an interactive website where you can look at what's in your cat and see how your cat compares to cats with health conditions, cats of different breeds, different kinds of cats. We have in our study already, I'm doing work with wild puma, leopard, lion, and cheetahs.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also see how the domestic cat compares
that,
to some of the
getting
wild cats.
That poop is probably a little bit more challenging than going into the litter box for my cats because
exactly.
They're all indoors.
Yeah.
It's like that's a whole other project.
It is, yeah. But
do they bury it too? Does a puma bury its poop?
The scat, you know, I actually don't know. I mean, we usually are getting the puma. So we have a collaborator who's collecting the puma samples, and he's doing it when he actually darts them.
Got it. Okay.
So, and then if sometimes an animal gets darted, they just poop right then. So we're getting them very fresh.
So, all right. So is this almost like 23andMe for cats?
But
also to know what's actually going on right now, not just what my family history is.
Yeah,
what a cat's family history is.
Definitely, I'm a big fan of 23andMe, and that's sort of what I had in mind was to do something like that, but for the microbiome of cats.
Like, for example, why do some cats like carrots?
Yes.
I mean, that cat is loving it.
How do carrots affect the microbes in your cat's gut?
You know? Yeah, like, what is that? Would we got a vitamin A deficiency happening here? Is that how he gets his eyes so orange? Who knows?
The cats are obligate carnivores, so all of this is really weird.
It's weird. I don't know. It's where this is happening. That's like a cat eating watermelon. You can do better than that, buddy. You can do better. So let's say, all right, I've got my sample. I mail it in. You do a bunch of, you run a bunch of tests. I mean, is the best case scenario that you say, your cat's really healthy. There's just nothing going on in there that's of concern to you.
Right, so we're definitely not at the point where it's a diagnostic test where we can say that, you have this ratio of different kinds of bacterial groups and there's a probiotic that you should take.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of the goal, I think, in the next 10 years or for humans, they aren't at that point either.
Right.
But we have to start by first characterizing what a healthy cat is and how much variation is there among healthy cats.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully we can use that information to develop therapies.
Yeah, and heredity is, as I'm sure it is in humans, I mean, that really plays a big part. I have two cats who are the same age. They're in good health for the most part. One of them has really bad teeth. And it's like they've eaten the exact same food next to each other for 8 years. And the other cat doesn't seem to have the problem. And it's just that's something that goes back in his lineage.
Yep.
His parents had bad teeth. His sister has a snaggle tooth, So that's cool. Now, see, I love cats, and cats love pancakes. I mean, that's kind of
also,
everybody's dream
also
right now.
Not a mouse.
Right. So I'll have to ask you this, Holly. There's no way that you would do something like this unless you were like an extreme cat person, correct? There's got to be a lot of people who are super into science and is smart enough to be able to kind of understand the mechanisms of what you're doing. A lot of people are like, wow, science is pretty involved. But to do this specifically for cats, you've got to be like on another level of cat fandom.
Well, there's a group of us, and I will say at least three of us are pretty fanatical about cats. We have one dog lover who loves genetics.
Right. So it's still a really good project to work on. So
yes.
How many of you there's? How many of you are working on it together?
I mean, there's four of us who started it, but then we have three interns working this summer at animal shelters collecting
mm-hmm.
cat samples for us.
Nice.
Yeah, there's our collaborators on our website. We have some amazing interns, and then we have a couple of veterinarians who we're collaborating with as well.
So if I'm at home watching this segment right now, I mean, I'm standing here, but if whoever's at home watching this segment and says, I really want to get involved, where's the best place to start?
So our Kickstarter's over, but there's a button on the Kickstarter page that you can click on, and it will take you to our UC Davis giving site where you can still join and have your cat signed up, and we'll send you the sampling kit. They'll be ready to go out at the end of July.
I have to say, one note about the Kickstarter itself, I mentioned at the beginning of the segment that you raised a lot more money than you asked for. You had told me before the show started that, you kind of set the number conservatively because you want it to be a success and you just don't want to go too nuts. But it really goes to show you how much interest there was, even beyond maybe your best case scenario.
Definitely. I mean, definitely chose too low a target, but I just didn't want to stress about it and had never done a Kickstarter
before. Sure. Yeah, I don't blame you.
So we raised more than seven times what our initial goal was. But we think that cats are an amazing outreach, not just for... So I care about cat health, but we also think that cats are a great way to reach out to people and get them excited about science and about the research that's going on in the microbiome right now.
Yeah. How many cats do you have?
Actually, I don't currently have any
cats. No? No?
But I would like to. I do foster care for the Humane Society in the East Bay.
Noble profession, foster care people. We have a foster care person who works here at TWIT, Anthony. Yeah, they're, that's good work that you're doing. Holly Gans, thank you so much for coming to the show and telling us more about the kitty biome.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Absolutely. All right, coming up, we have a blast from the past, in fact. Paul Block, our executive producer of The Screensavers, is actually going to join Leo and I. I didn't even know he was going to be here until, like, right before the show. It's blowing my mind a little bit. And after that, we're going to answer your email.
Hi, I'm Matt Richardson, product evangelist for Raspberry Pi. I travel a lot for work and pleasure, and I do want to remember all these places I've been and what I've done. So when I'm traveling with people at the end of a long day of doing a lot of stuff, I'll sometimes turn on the voice recorder on my phone and gather people around who I've been traveling with and ask everyone to kind of recount what happened that day, talk about what we saw, what we did, kind of like recording your own little podcast. And it serves as a good memento for the trip, and it's a lot of fun just to do it, to recount it, and then you have something that you can save for posterity and share with all your friends. It's another dimension to taking pictures and saving pictures from a trip as well.
Thank you, Matt. Matt Richards, you may remember he is the Raspberry Pi evangelist we had on a few episodes ago. Sarah, it's so great to have you on the show, but I have to say, it's kind of a shock, isn't it, when you came in the door?
Yeah.
Does it feel like old times a little bit to see Mr. Paul Block?
Yes. I didn't know that Paul was going to be here.
Leo told me you were co-hosting.
It's so exciting because we all worked together for a long time, every day, on the Screensavers, on Tech TV. It was...
Almost 5 years.
Was it that long?
2001 to 2006.
So, they brought in Paul because you were a Hollywood big shot. Well, I know you dispute that.
I was an entertainment producer.
You had worked for the Carson Show as a booker.
Yeah.
You did an Alan Thicke show. You'd done a lot of producing of really important shows, and they thought we could use a little glamour, a little dressing up.
What they said to me was, we have 450 geeks who work here.
Yeah.
We need somebody who knows how to produce television shows. That's what they said. Those were their words.
And it was true.
And I'm not going to say who said it because he's still alive.
Peter Hammersley.
I'm not going to say who said it because
Greg Drebin. It was one of the Greg two. Drebin. We know that.
I keep forgetting Drebin's name. I should remember that because of Leslie Nielsen.
Lieutenant Drebin. That's right. So your job was...
Frank Drebin.
Huh?
Frank Drebin.
Frank Drebin.
Frank, yeah. Your job was to take a bunch of unruly geeks and turn them into entertainment.
Yeah, to turn now, the show into entertainment with the hopes of raising ratings.
Well, they gave up on that, I think.
No!
After a while, we were like, okay, ratings are... That's secondary.
We would just like to make money. Let's just make money.
Let's just put 60 minutes of show together every day.
And not worry about it.
The ratings went up considerably over the period of time that we were there.
Good.
And they made money. And they were went into the black...
In
that last quarter of the year where they sold it.
Right. Interesting timing, isn't that?
Interesting timing.
Yeah, we're profitable. Sure we are. So what... You made a lot of changes. The Dark Tipper, Kevin
Dark
Rose.
Tipper.
Yep.
He wasn't even an on-camera talent, but when you arrived.
I loved Kevin, and Kevin was not the greatest PA in the world.
Production assistant. That was his job.
He was like supposed to work for Yoshi, and that didn't work out very well.
Was he lazy?
No, was like, I'm not listening to him.
No. And I just liked Kevin so much that I said, look, we got to do something to make it work.
Well, he's good. He was a good-looking kid. He was very smart.
Personable.
It started when he found a bug in Microsoft Windows. We reported it to Microsoft.
I was trying to remember. It was like he knew something.
He knew something.
And so that was his big thing is like, can you explain this on the chalkboard on the show?
We said, why should we explain it? You discovered the bug.
Yeah.
And you must have thought you saw something in him.
I did. And I said, let's do something to use your talents. He was a hacker. I said, let's do something. Let's do dark tips. Let's call you the dark tipper. What you should do is stuff that is just this side of maybe legal that we can show people at home what to do. and that was his job. And he'd come on, and people loved it. People loved the
he
dark
was, he, they still ask me and all the time, and Kevin's been on the show.
I did not create the name The Twisted Lister.
That's that, Martin Sargent.
That's Martin Sargent.
I forgot about that.
But that's Peter Hammersley's creation.
He was the Twisted Lister. So the program Woo. Director was Greg Drebin, a guy they brought in from MTV. Right. He was later replaced by...
Brannon.
Yeah.
Greg Brannon.
The late Greg Brannon. He passed away. But the supervising producer, the guy who really kind of was hands-on with it, was Peter Hammersley.
He was the head of production, VP production.
Yeah.
He was over all the shows they
right.
did there.
Right.
And for a little while, Henry Kaiser was in there, too.
Henry was your predecessor as EP of the Screensavers.
And then he became...
What is an executive producer? What
it's,
do you
it's
do?
A title.
That's what
it's
I am now.
It's a showrunner.
I don't know what I do.
It's a showrunner.
That's really what you are. Yeah. And nowadays, we know the term showrunner from people like David Chase, mm-hmm. who ran The Sopranos. So you were your job was to get that show on the air every day.
To get it on the air in an entertaining fashion. Try to book the things that people at home are going to enjoy watching, that you're going to enjoy doing. So if you enjoy it, you're going to put what you got
the enthusiasm
into it.
Will come out.
Yeah.
And we did that show 5 days a week for a while, 90 minutes, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Then the further concept was to change, a little bit change the concept. It was, you know, the audience was... When I got there, and even when I left, the audience was always primarily young males.
Yeah. Still is, by the way. That's all. We're 95% male audience. Not young so much.
And so
mostly old
as
men.
Much as I
They were young once, though, watching the Screensavers.
You know what? It's so great. And you should know this, Paul. You probably do know this. But I run into people almost every day. People who come here, people I see. I was just down in Los Angeles. Somebody came up to me. I watch the Screensavers. Many of the time, I grew up watching the Screensavers. Mm-hmm. I became a geek because of the Screensavers. We had a huge impact on a whole generation.
We created community. That's one of the most important things we did. The people who were part of our audience felt like they were part of the show. We had our website, the Screensavers website, was making money before anybody else on the internet was making money.
Yeah, $1 million a year.
$1 million a year. And we learned how to do it.
Yeah.
You learned how to promote it. We kept promoting it.
Yep.
We kept putting things on the internet that was sort of a little bit of a continuation of what we did on the show.
We were hobbled, though, by cable contracts.
Yes.
We couldn't put more than 10 minutes of any given show on. And nowadays, if we had been able to do that, well, we are, kind of. I mean, I learned so much from you and about building community, about trying to make an entertaining product.
I learned so much from you about computers. You have no idea. I couldn't even design a business card when I showed up.
I remember our first lunch. We all went out together. We thought, who is this guy? He's coming from Hollywood. What kind of guy is this going to be? And it was really, actually,
well,
I
tried
think we
really
hit it off
hard
in the beginning.
For the first month to keep my mouth shut and just watch
learn.
And
no,
just
you
learn.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
What month
now,
were
now,
you?
Now, when you came,
remembering?
Sarah Lane was not was a producer, not talent.
No, Paul, hired her.
Yeah, Paul and I came together.
He hired you.
Well, I hired her.
Yeah.
Henry Kaiser said to me, you're looking for another whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to meet Sarah Lane.
Very talented TV producer on Channel 4 and KRON here in the Bay Area.
We overlapped a little bit.
Yeah,
well, we
never
we
worked
overlap,
together.
But
we
worked on the same show at one
New
point.
New Media News. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also brought in
Morgan Webb. She was a researcher.
She was a researcher with a major in rhetoric from some school someplace.
Berkeley.
Berkeley, and I wanted to put her on camera. I thought that she belonged on camera.
Did you think Sarah belonged on camera?
I did, and that's one of the reasons I hired
her. I remember the first segment that we did. I was wearing a red shirt, and we were talking about, I don't know, something or other, and I remember where we
like
were standing.
It was yesterday,
and I remember being nervous, and,
I'm
you know.
Tell a little story about Morgan. I hope she doesn't get upset if she watches this.
She does watch.
We did, remember we used to do a show where, once we did a show where everybody wore kilt on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember it very well.
Everyone wore kilt, including Morgan.
Yeah, she looked good in that kilt.
And I said to her the next day, I said, Morgan, I know I got to be politically correct. I don't want to be sexist.
God.
I don't want to be any of that kind of stuff.
It's like the old days.
Can I be honest?
Yes.
And I said, you know, in that kilt yesterday, you looked great.
She did.
And
she was pretty much the only one who did, I might add.
And I really think...
I was not in the kilt.
And I really think that at least a couple or three times a week, you should wear a skirt.
I remember this.
This
I remember
real,
this.
This is a real thing. This that, is not that a, happened.
I totally remember this conversation.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
And what was her reaction to that?
Great
Paul?
Story.
Her reaction was, she was, first of all, as pleasant as she could be.
Yes, she's
she
very
did
sweet.
Not rebound or
no.
revolt.
She didn't
her
slap
reaction
you.
To me was, would you like me also show a little cleavage? I said, I don't think we're going that far.
I said, I don't remember that part of the story at all.
I said, a skirt
Where
every.
Am I?
I said, a skirt.
You, to your credit, and I think I remember when we had that first lunch, you said, when I told people that we were there, that's all kilt day. When I told people that we were going
oh
to.
Oh, my God, there it
yeah,
is.
Yeah. We were going to. You said, when I told people that I was going to go up to San Francisco and do this thing called. The screensavers, they said, well, we have one word of advice for you, cleavage. And I remember you telling us that and saying, and I'm not going to do that. And you never, to your credit, you never did do that.
I didn't. And I just said, not jeans every day.
Yeah, just a skirt
a couple of times.
But no cleavage. We don't need that.
A little variety.
A little variety. She did look good in that. I don't know if you have. Can you find Morgan in the kilt?
I don't remember anyone ever saying to us, no cleavage. Let's just set the record straight.
You weren't. You were. Yeah, it's now. It was a little bit of a mini kilt.
We were required.
And you see a lot of knobbly knees there. There's Darcy. I don't remember who that. Even one of the camera operators is wearing a kilt.
What was his name? I think it was.
There's Steve Porter.
Now, I just want to point out.
Javier. His name is
Javier. There's Megan. Did you see Megan on the
yes.
list? But I just want to point out, I also was wearing a kilt, pleated kilt. And one thing I did not know at the time is the pleats, and you probably know this as a woman, catch the air. And I did a little pirouette. And the kilt goes, woo! And unfortunately, I mean, I think this is actually on that video. I was able to do a Marilyn Monroe and push it down before too much.
I want to know, were you wearing anything under your quilt?
I think Patrick advised me that I should not.
All right.
He said for...
It just seems so wild and free, you know? Put the undies on.
All right.
Hey, what are you doing these days, Paul?
I'm
retired, right?
I retired. I moved to Portland, where my wife, Sheila, has the Lane
She's
Gallery.
A great artist.
And my daughter, Kiva, has a place called Kiva, which is a spa, tea bar, and cafe.
Nice.
And it's doing very well.
K-I-V-A.
Yeah. And Shauna just sold her restaurant, which was called, coincidentally, Blocks.
Both of your daughters ended up as chefs.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Well, Shauna is now
chances?
Now here someplace in the Bay Area. We're here for a wedding.
That's wonderful.
And
Gila Lane is here, your beautiful wife. The picture of you at Woodstock, you and Gila, 1969.
She found it.
That's so amazing. It is so great to see you, Paul. And I thank you because I learned so much about what we do today. From working with a pro, it was really a great value.
I enjoyed it. It was one of my favorite jobs in all of television.
Well, I think Sarah and I agree it was probably our favorite job of all time. I don't think anybody
who worked.
It was
a great little period of my life, for sure.
I went from there into the cauldrons of hell.
What was that?
I'm still in them. That was it, you know?
We'll talk about that off the air.
All right. Hey, thank you, Paul Block, our Blast from the Past. I know you got to get going. Great to see you. Thank
enjoy.
You for joining us.
Why are we shaking?
Aww.
Come here.
And we're gonna get a look at the mailbag. We still do a mailbag, believe it or not.
That's far out.
We created it on the screensavers because we had to stretch. This show, no stretching. We go on and on. Thanks, Paul.
As long
Great to see you.
Short.
As long as we can go. Hey, it's time for the mailbag. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's roll in. Mail.
Mail. I like how the mail's delivered to your chair. You know, you don't even need to get up.
I don't have to get up.
Front.
And then I open this. Oh. Sometimes there's something in here. I just wanted
And there is.
There is. I just wanted to warn you. Here, I'll give you a couple.
Thanks.
And go ahead, you start.
All right. We got an email from Neil who says, I used to be an aerobatic pilot.
Wow.
So I know a thing or two about what causes motion sickness.
Yes, we were talking about VR and how you get
kinda,
queasy.
You know, people complain about that. He says, I keep hearing you describe how you and others suffer from motion sickness from VR products. When you turn an aircraft upside down, some folks get sick straight away. However, your tolerance builds over time.
Uh-huh.
So Neil's saying, give VR time, it will get better. The reason for the problem is if your brain gets clashing signals from vision
right.
and then your inner ear, It thinks you've been poisoned.
Wow.
And it wants to evacuate the contents of your stomach. But over time, it learns this is a false alarm.
I've been poisoned.
Neil says, trust me, I'm an upside down pilot, at least I used to be. Now I'm a geek who listens to Twit and walks the dogs instead.
Thank you, Neil.
All kidding aside, I've noticed that, and I think we've talked about it like on iPad Today before, that I used to get really carsick if I read at all.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't
like,
do that.
No, there's no reading. Yeah. And because I'm on my phone all the time.
You're used to it now.
And, you know, I take a lot of Ubers. I live in a city, mm-hmm. so it's like, you know, I'm kind of in the back of essentially mm-hmm. a cab a lot. It's like my motion sickness from reading has gone away because right. I'm just doing it more.
You no longer think you're poisoned. You're just in an Uber.
But I don't even get like, I mean, it used to be really like, oh, God, I really feel sick, rolled on the window, yeah. you know, and now I'm like, I can read anything. I trained myself to get through it.
I've come around a little bit on VR. I got, because I have a Galaxy phone, I was able to get the Samsung Galaxy Gear VR visor. And I've been looking at stuff. It's actually kind of amazing. There's a Cirque du Soleil where you're in the middle and you look around and there's performers all around you. It's really...
And have you felt that
no.
that sickness feeling?
No, but then I gave it to
get?
Lisa and she, like, within 30 seconds said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So I think maybe you do get used to it.
And maybe some people will just always be like, ooh. But I mean, people are weird. Some people don't ride escalators because it makes them motion sick.
Really?
Actually, only one person that I know
Somebody
of in my
know?
Life didn't do that, but it was super annoying to hang out with her. Because you always had to find the elevator.
When
and
you
she
went
said,
to the mall,
oh, it'll
you'd go
make
to the
me
mall.
All, you make me, it'll make me all sick. I can't do it. I was like, oh, you're a nightmare.
Pale from Manila writes, hi, new screensavers. Is it possible to use the Plex app on your iPad, but stream the audio to your Sonos system? No, it's not. If not, what would be a good alternative? If you use the Sonos as a home theater speaker system, that's the only way you can do it. So Sonos makes a sound bar. You can add the subwoofer and the surround sound as well.
I have my Sonos hooked up into the existing system.
And if you're using the audio out of your TV for that, then anything you play to your TV, that's your sound system. So
right.
you have to do that. You have to hook it up to the TV, and you actually have to set up the Sonos as you have to make it be your sound for the TV.
Yeah,
but
right.
that will work. You can't, though, be sitting and watching your iPad and have the Sonos do it.
Because the iPad would require the Plex app to be, like, you have to choose one.
Right.
It's the Sonos app or it's the Plex
app.
Well,
the sync would be a problem. There'd be a terrible sync.
Yeah.
It would get to the Sonos at a different time than the video gets on the screen. So it's not a good idea. But hook it up to your TV. It works great that way. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah. By the way, I know a couple of people have written to me. We did not write, but there exists Kodi, a Twit app for the Kodi system and for the Plex system. And apparently our new website broke it. That's actually not what happened. The developers, and we don't know who they are. If it's you, please contact us. We'd love to help you out, api@twit.tv. They, for some reason, maybe it's the same guy, they both used the RSS feed that we never published, we never told you about from the Twit website that was all the shows, and that's how they got the directory information. That was not supported, and it's gone away because we no longer use that Drupal feed. So, but we can solve this because we have a great API that'll make it very much easier for you to do what you want to do. So please, if I apologize, it's not our app, so we can't fix it. But if you were using Kodi or Plex to watch Twit on your big screen TV, that's why it stopped working. And if you know the developers or you are the developer, contact me because I'll fix it. api@twit.tv. You have the final question.
Brandon from Franklin, Indiana says, I have a quick question. I'm a recent college graduate, and I've accepted a work-at-home position, and the company I'm working for is sending me a brand new iMac. But we have a problem.
Uh-oh.
I've been a Windows user since the beginning of time. I have some Linux knowledge, Ubuntu and Kali Linux, but I was wondering if you could recommend a website or a book that would help me transition to the OS X world.
I don't think you need a book, Brandon. I think you'll figure it out pretty quick, don't you?
Apple really... hold your hand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a fun time to get into OS X for the first time, you know?
Instead of a control panel, you've got the system preference pane. But once you get in there, you're going to immediately understand what that is.
Because it's such a, no matter when, that you know, if you're somebody who was like, oh, I was Windows user since the beginning of time, and then you move to Mac, or move to OS X, what's now OS X, it's like, it is a big difference. You'll get used to it quickly, but it's like, I mean, I remember when I was like...
Did you make that move? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bought my first MacBook, and then I was like, oh, All right. I love this.
It's all minor things, like the menu bar and Windows in the bottom. On the Mac, it's on the top.
Yeah, you're going to find all the same stuff, your system preferences.
It's all still there.
You find whatever you need in there.
There are a couple of things, a couple of resources. David Pogue's OS X, The Missing Manual, is a very good introduction to OS X and has helpful chapters for Windows users moving to OS X. And the other thing you remember is you can run Windows very nicely on that iMac.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very simple way to do it. You could either run it as a full-blown Windows machine, or you can use an emulator like VMware Fusion and do it that way. But if you want to run Windows on your Mac actually makes an excellent Windows machine. You can have the best of both worlds.
I remember the first time I had my laptop and I was working at G4 because I remember my coworker who I was talking to, and I was like, okay, I just have like a weird question. Like, I want to uninstall this application, and like, I don't understand, like, where do I run the uninstaller?
Right.
And
no
uninstaller. He was like, this is this cool thing about how Macs work. You know, you just drag the icon to the trash and that's the end of it. And I was like, really? That's so easy.
But where's the uninstaller?
Yeah, and where are all the residual files?
Well, unfortunately, you know what? Now on the Macintosh, there are residual files.
Yeah, it's not.
And you wish you had an uninstaller.
Right, but it was sort of just one of those things where Mac people were always used to that, and I thought it was magic.
Yeah.
Because I was just used to Windows being a little bit more complicated.
You know what's magic? Seeing you again, sitting in this chair looking at you after so many years of doing iPad Today. We miss you.
I miss you guys, too. It's really nice to be here.
Come back anytime.
It seems like besides me, everyone's still here. Like no time has passed at all.
Nobody ever leaves Twit, except you.
Well, yeah, I'm the only one. But I stayed a really long time before I left.
I know, sweetie. And things are going well at AOL and TechCrunch. You have a good time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Executive producer of TechCrunch TV.
That's
and you
right,
have your
TechCrunch
own show.
Video. I do, yeah, Crunch Report. We do
every
Monday through Friday.
Afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really fun. That's sort of my creative outlet, but there's a lot of other stuff.
There's stuff behind the scenes
don't see. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a whole team. And working with writers who don't necessarily do video, but some of the stuff that they'd be writing about would make a good video. There I am. That was Friday.
Yep.
You guys might remember that shirt. I've had it for like 400 years.
I've worn it over the years. Don't we own that shirt? I guess.
No. I bought that at a consignment store with my own, probably $6. It was an old shirt when I got it. But life is good.
Good. Great to see you. Thanks
you
for joining us.
Of course.
Thanks for being here, all of you. We do this show every Saturday afternoon right after the radio show, about 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. Please watch live, participate in the chat room. We love that. But, of course, on-demand versions of every show we do, now available on the brand-new Twit website, twit.tv/NSS, on youtube.com/thenewscreensavers, and you could subscribe on any platform imaginable, except for Plex and Cody. We have to fix that. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye, everybody. Muted applause. We're just going to boost that up.